Vernal Equinox. Nope, just football. Football season starts literally right now. Right this second, except for the one Hall of Fame game last week. I'm your host, Doug. So can John Gruden coach? New old because he worked there before. Oakland Raiders coach Gruden is now a celebrity because he spent the last 9 years on Monday Night Football saying these a lot. As in, these Kansas City Chiefs and these Houston Texans are tough and these Arizona Cardinals are unstoppable, which led to commercials and fame and another coaching job. But can Gruden coach? And does he say these this much at practice? The short story is, you can't complain about his first tenure in Oakland. He followed the trajectory most fans like to see in a new head coach, Gruden gradually improving from 8-8 and 8-8 to 12-4 and 10-6. Then he moves on to Tampa Bay, where he immediately wins the Super Bowl in 2002. Ironically, the Super Bowl win is where the debating begins, because Gruden followed up the championship with three winning seasons, three losing seasons, and two playoff berths, but that trajectory was gone. Only two of the winning seasons were consecutive. The playoff berths were not consecutive and only amounted to two losses in two games. One loss was close, one loss wasn't. Improving your team every single year looks great, but it's impossible if the coach stays with your team for years. And it isn't always possible otherwise. There's often circumstances. At the time, it looks like Mike McCarthy screwed up with the Packers when he follows a winning season with a 6-10 in his third year, his breakout season. But McCarthy had a veteran, established star quarterback, Brett Favre, the first two seasons, then had to start all over with unheralded but future star Aaron Rodgers in 2008. And McCarthy has proven since that he's one of the great unheralded coaching finds. The final results on Gruden, except for the actual season, in a moment. You're listening to The Yearbook. It's a sportscast for nurses and flight attendants. I don't think we have time. That reminds me. A Colombian-American musician named Soraya, born in New Jersey of Lebanese descent. I think we're mispronouncing her name. But Soraya went to Rutgers University, and then she broke out in the music business in the mid-90s. She was unique at the time, if we're getting this right, in that a lot of Latino musicians chose one market or the other. They either began as Latin stars and then crossed over into English-language stardom, or began with English stardom and didn't do much with the Spanish market. Soraya, critics said, had simultaneous critics. This was a positive. They were saying that Soraya had simultaneous English and Spanish careers, using the same songs too. Unfortunately, she was diagnosed with breast cancer and fought it for 7 years. She fought it before she passed away in 2006 at only 37 years old. Then there was the singer Soraya, different person, same spelling, born in Spain. She was a little younger, and once that Soraya was the runner-up on a Spanish reality show, her professional career overlapped the other Sorayas for a year or two in the mid-2000s. She is still performing. We don't have time. We got to go. Both had a lot in common and a lot not in common, including their first jobs. The Spanish singer Soraya was fluent in four languages, which got her a flight attendant job, but singing was what she really wanted to do. And she moved from airline to airline before taking a chance on that reality show finally. The Colombian-American Soraya was a singer and flight attendant. She was performing at coffee houses and other various venues around Rutgers in addition to the airline job when her demo tape was discovered. Think about it. There must be a million stories up in the air about flight attendants with other professional aspirations and talents, certainly. We know about Leila Wagner, who was a pro bowler while working for American Airlines and had to put up with a lot, including people mispronouncing her name. It's spelled Leela. But that was in the 80s. Even then, in 1987, she was ticked off about being called a stewardess. Okay, John Gruden. We know he was a winner with the Raiders, and we know he was inconsistent with the Bucks. And that's all we have. We could guess Gruden rode the coattails when he got Tampa over the top in his first season there. The guess is, no matter Gruden's grasp of schemes and form, I think his Bucs tenure is more what he is as a coach: inconsistent. Final answer. Something interesting might come of Gruden plus the Raiders' infrastructure upgrades. Reportedly, the Raiders did not even have decent practice fields. And by not decent, we mean dirty and uneven when general manager Reggie McKenzie arrived. And he arrived advertised as a personnel guru, which is still not definitive either. So in other words, the jury's still out on Gruden, McKenzie, and the Raiders organization all at the same time. This should be interesting.